Thanks for tuning in to The Rewind, where we dig back in our vault of previous shows. I'm your host, Alan Stein. On today's Rewind episode of the Pure Sweat Basketball Show...
Maintaining those kind of four pillars is a huge key, and it basically separates the successful players from the unsuccessful players.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Turn my headphones up!
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Reese Davis from ESPN, and you're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thanks for checking out the show that is focused on raising the game. I'm your host, Alan Stein. We do this show to serve you, so your feedback is not only welcome, it's extremely valuable. Please email me directly at alan@puresweatbasketball.com with your thoughts and suggestions. In today's episode, Drew Hanlon shares strategies for managing a player's most important relationships. Drew, if you look at the typical youth or high school age player, they've got four main relationships that they have to really maintain to be successful. One would be their high school coach. Two would be more than likely an AAU or a club coach. Three could be a trainer, skills trainer, performance trainer, what have you. And then the last would certainly be their parents or whoever takes care of them. What are some keys or strategies to maintaining and making those relationships thrive so that player can be as successful as possible?
You know, I think you hit it on the head that maintaining those kind of four pillars is a huge key, and it basically separates the successful players from the unsuccessful players. I always talk about having a small circle. And then I also, you know, I stole this concept from a lot of the most successful businesses and most successful sports organizations that you need to have one voice. And what I mean by that is everyone has their own ideas and opinions. But you need to formulate that into one voice, and everybody kind of pushes you in the same direction. If you're getting tugged from multiple angles, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay still. But if everybody's pushing you and you're pulling yourself in that same direction, then obviously you're going to be able to gravitate towards where you want to get to. So I think that's a big thing, is just maintaining that circle, making sure that, you know, you keep as many opinions and basically ideas as you can to kind of a limited amount of people. And then once you do limit those people, then making sure that all of them are on the same page and push you in the same direction.
And what should that page be? What should be most important for the high school coach, the AAU coach, the trainer, and the parents?
It should be all about the player, because ultimately that's the only thing that all those guys have in common. And obviously, you know, each person has their own agenda. You know, whether we like it or not, you know, the parent wants their kid to succeed, but the parent also might be living vicariously through them and want different things than the player might want for themselves. You know, you see that parent that pushes their player that doesn't truly love the game, and that's never going to work. And if you have a trainer that's trying to use a player to get to the next level, that's not going to, you know, work. And if you have an AAU coach that just wants to win games and doesn't want to better the players, that won't work. Or a high school coach that, you know, whether they just want to win games or whatever and don't want to better the players, that's not going to work. But it should all come down to what the player wants most, because ultimately if the player doesn't love the game, if the player doesn't want to win, if the player doesn't enjoy playing, then all the other things are going to fail. And so it should be the player saying, hey, this is what I want. And the other people can't want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And once a player puts their kind of mission and goal and priorities, once they put those up at the top, everybody else should help push them towards those things.
Now, how do you suggest communication-wise getting everybody on the same page, especially if some people have some slightly conflicting agendas? Should somebody such as the parent take the lead on organizing everyone, or what would you recommend?
Again, I think it all starts with the player, you know, and obviously it depends on the age of a player. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a sixth grade, you know, kid walk to their coach and start going off on them. But I think as long as a player can handle it in a mature way, meaning the right way, I think there's different ways to talk to people. I think that too many times players will complain and, you know, go around coaches' backs and say, you know, my coach is tripping, or they, you know, the trainer will say something, you know, your coach isn't doing this for you. And then the coaches are saying, well, your trainer sucks, and et cetera. If everybody would just stop bashing each other and instead have an open dialogue and talk to each other, then I think it'd be a lot better. I think that too many times the player just doesn't take control, and the player doesn't basically tell everybody what their role is in the whole situation. And when the player does, that's when everything works out really well.
Now, I know right now you make most of your living working with NBA players, but imagine you were working with some high school kids now, just kind of in a hypothetical. What would a conversation be if you reached out to a player's high school coach or AAU coach or parents if you are the trainer?
I'll take you back to when I was in high school, because I think I actually managed this process really well. I mean, my high school coach, Jay Blossom, is one of my best friends to this day. And I think part of that was because we had a lot of those tough conversations that most players and coaches don't have. I mean, there were times where I wanted to transfer because he would not let me break the school scoring record. What I mean by that is he gave me the opportunity, but we were blowing teams out and he would sub me out of the games and I would complain about it because I wanted to leave, you know, Webster with a state championship and I wanted all the records. Well, he kept telling me, what's your priority? You know, asking me, what's my priority? And my priority is win a state championship. So he said, you know, you're going to need your teammates. And he was right. And so we did end up winning a state championship. I felt like 50 points shy of winning the, or you know, getting our school scoring record. And he subbed me out of, I think, 28 fourth quarters.
Oh,
so
wow.
We had some battles, but he kept telling me over and over in a man-to-man conversation, or a man-to-boy, because I was young, you know, conversation that I needed to prioritize what really mattered. And that was keeping, you know, my teammates first, keeping winning first, keeping our program first, and putting my individual agenda aside. So I think if I wouldn't have had those conversations with him, I would have never realized it. My parents always pushed me and challenged me to keep, working hard, but they never forced me to. So my mom would be, you know, I woke up every morning at 4:59 a.m. to shoot those 1,000 shots before school that everybody knows that I did. But it was never like, hey, Drew, you need to. But it was always like, you know, hey, Drew, like, you know, if you want a scholarship, you should probably do this. Or it was my mom waking up early.
I'll just give you a ride.
Exactly. Yeah. It was my mom waking up early to make sure she prepared breakfast for me. Or my dad spent 2 years where he would wake up before work and taught me how to properly lift weights because I was 5'11". I needed to gain as much strength as I could. So my parents played a huge role in, and again, sacrificing their time and then doing everything they could. I think so many parents say, I want what's best for my kid. My parents sacrificed for me
yes.
a lot. You know, they made sure that whether it was giving up their last penny to make sure I was playing on the best teams in town, or whether it was sacrificing their time or sleep to make sure I was at the gym early enough so I was getting an extra work, my parents did that. And then lastly, my coaches were all pushing me to where I wanted to go. They all knew that I wanted to play in the NCAA tournament. That was my dream. I didn't have that same dream. Obviously, everybody dreams of playing the NBA. Because my height, I probably gave up on my dream, my ultimate dream, a little bit early, but I really wanted to play in an NCAA tournament. That was my dream. And all of my AAU coach, my high school coach, and all those guys, we all made sure we talked about it. So my AAU coaches told me, Drew, you need to be an 8.8 assist guy for us if you want to get college scholarships. Whereas my high school coach said, we need you to be a scorer so that we can, and also we need to put your individual agendas aside so that we can win as a team so that you can be a winner. Because coaches want winners, and then my parents pushed me to become the best player I could. So you see how all those people were pushing me in the right direction, and ultimately I got to play in two NCAA tournaments and had a very successful college career.
Love it. Now that you're working with mostly NBA guys, I know that you're in constant communication with the organization, with the coaching staff of each player's team to find out exactly what role they're going to play with their team, what game actions, what things they need to be working on. I assume it'd be no different than if you were training high school kids. Would you not recommend a high school trainer reach out to a high school coach and say, hey, you know, where is this player going to get shots for you in your system? What strengths or weaknesses does this player, so that, again, everybody's kind of working towards the betterment of the player?
No question. It was actually a lesson I learned from Billy Donovan while Brad Beal was at Florida. I was in Florida's gym working out Brad, and Billy had known about me just because when he was recruiting Brad, he had came to a few of our workouts and stuff like that. But he came up to me and pulled me aside and said, hey, listen, none of our other coaches know who you are, and they're questioning who's in our gym right now. And he told me, he said, you know, if you want to kind of earn the respect of coaches and, you know, have them let you use their gyms and facilities, you know, without them having a problem with it, you need to make sure you're in constant communication with them. And so it's a lesson that I learned while I was in college from Billy D, and I've taken that lesson to heart. And so now the first thing I do when I work out a player is I make sure I reach out to all those important pieces in their life so that everybody, you know, so one, so I can get to know the player more than I will because they've been around those players, but two, so I can make sure that I'm preparing that player fully for what they need to be able to do next season to help their team win more games.
I love it. So if you're a high school coach listening, I mean, take what Drew's saying and and put that to use. Don't wait for the phone to ring incoming. Be proactive. Reach out. If you know that one of your players has a trainer in the offseason, if you know one of your players is playing with an AAU team in the offseason, reach out to them just to kind of to make this bridge and to create some dialogue, because it has to go back to what's best for the player. And Drew said it perfectly at the beginning. If everyone's pulling the player in a different direction, they don't go anywhere. We need everyone pushing and pulling the player to the same place.
Yeah, and I think one thing, and this is a big lesson that I've taken, is making sure that the coaches don't bash the trainers and the trainers don't bash the coaches. Instead, ultimately, they should be loving each other, because if, as a coach, my ultimate goal is to win more games and help my team win more games and to better my players as people and as players, then I want them to have a great trainer that's helping them every day that I can't be with them. And as a trainer, we should be doing the same thing. I think the big reason why our industry as basketball as a whole has kind of basically taken this egotistical approach is because everybody wants a credit. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, and I tell people this all the time, as trainers, I always tell them we're like the GPS. I can tell players what to do, but it's their job to get to where we need them to go. It doesn't matter how much I try to get a player to, you know, work on a certain thing. If he doesn't put in the work, he's not going to get the results. And so the truth is, we are all a very small piece of the puzzle. And with them being the only thing that matters, you know, they're the only one that can kind of drive their own car, drive the boat, or whatever kind of transportation you want to use for the analogy. But we're the GPS. All of us have to be taking them to the same place. Because if you know, imagine if Siri on your phone was telling you, make a right turn, nope, left turn, nope, U-turn. It would be a hell of a journey getting to the end destination. You'd wind up somewhere where you might not want to be. But if all of us have the same roadmap and we tell the player where to go, then it ultimately is on the player to get there on their own.
Okay, that's it for today. We sure appreciate you listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel for the latest performance and skill training videos, as well as exclusive content from this show. All right, we need to get back in the gym.